You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Kevin Kearns. He's talking to me from Newburgh, New York. Kevin, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks, Brainerd. Glad to be here.
Kevin, I know we're going to talk about your work, your paintings, but you've had a varied career. So maybe we should begin with how is it that you came to paintings? Where did they come from? Because you've been painting for over 20 years now, right?
I started out, I started out as an illustration major and ended up in the advertising business. And I did storyboards in a creative department and ended up becoming an art director and then eventually a creative director. I worked with a lot of really talented people, and I was always envious of photographers and illustrators and cinematographers who I worked with, and that they made the living making images, and I was in the advertising business, and I designed ads, and I created TV commercials, and I learned about the process of making images for commercial purposes, and I learned a lot. And I would, working with photographers, I started really concentrating on the landscape. And I would paint, I always painted from when I was a kid. I painted. It was an escape for me, and it was something that I did. But I never sold anything. I ended up, after being a creative director for a number of years, I ended up freelancing. And there was a dot-com crash around 2000. And I found myself with a lot of time on my hands. I wasn't getting hired a lot. I lived in Soho at the time, and I lived with a lot of painters. I was in an artist-in-residence-only building, and there were some really good, successful painters that, we all shared the same elevator, and it was in a loft building. They would come in.
And where was that? Working. That was in the city.
I lived in Soho for about 15 years. And so I was, there were painters all around me, galleries all around me. And, these people would see what I was working on. There was a painter that lived above me, Bill Conlon, who was a very successful painter, and he came in a few times and was looked at what I was working on, and he would give me tips, and I was so, I was so happy to have somebody like him. He wasn't a mentor or anything, but it was just so, helpful for him to give me a few pointers, and the woman below me was the president of the First Street Gallery, which was a co-op, an old co-op in the city, and they were in Chelsea, and she saw what I was working on, and was very encouraging, and showed my work to the co-op, and there was a space available for a month for a show, and they offered to give me a show if I could get the paintings ready. So all the paintings I was going to show, I was unhappy with, and I started painting over all of them. And that's kind of the process I use today, I do several paintings on top of each other. And from then on, it was like really a learning experience. So I had the show at the First Street Gallery, And I made up invitations, and I invited some of the other galleries from Chelsea to my show if they wanted to come. And one of the galleries actually picked me up on it and liked what they saw, and they offered me representation. So at that point, I thought, well, you know what? I might have a new career here. And
that's exciting. Yeah, that is exciting. So it was through that. I mean, that's a well-known cooperative gallery, First Street Gallery, that's been around, since the 70s or 80s, I think.
Yeah, the very old gallery. And I ended up in a gallery in 25th Street called Strickoff Fine Art. And I've been with them ever since. They've lost their space in Chelsea and moved to Soho for a while. And that wasn't really working out, so they're still looking for, they want to be back in Chelsea. So everything's sort of virtual at this point with them. And from there, I've expanded and moved into some other galleries. So I'm in galleries around the country.
And what are you working on now? You're working on a similar kind of, let's talk about the work then. You typically work fairly large, right? Like 48 by 48, and you're working on wood panel as opposed to canvas?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I'm mostly wood panel. I've done different things. I like the wood panel because it's tough. And I use a rotary sander a lot, and squeegees, and all kinds of ways to make marks and build up the surface. I put paint on with a plasterer's trowel and move it around and scrape it back. And so the panel's tough enough that I can do whatever I want with it. And I actually used to apply resin to these paintings when they were finished, and it gave them kind of like pouring water on a seashell kind of a look. So
right, and that kind of thick surface of resin, you mean, where it almost looks like glass. The surface is like glass, but it also is a beautiful surface.
Exactly.
Resin can be if it's thick enough, right?
Yeah really beautiful. So I would I will do that sometimes, and still, but pretty much now I'm really interested in the surface and what I can do with the paint, and because the resin's fantastic, and you know, it kind of crunches the color of the paint, but what it takes away is that surface where you can actually see, you know, a brush stroke and see palette knife work. And so
you mean you don't see the palette knife work, it removes that surface?
It does remove it a little bit, yeah. Yeah, it sort of hides it, you know. And so, you know, it's like you lose a little something, but you gain a lot, and it's really impressive when you walk in a room, in a show. It really makes the work pop. But
surface. It's pretty amazing surface. So let's talk about the imagery a little bit. There's what else is happening in there? These are all landscapes largely. Is that how you see them?
I mean,
they all look like they have a horizon, or most do. Landscapes.
Yeah. Well, it's when I started painting, I grew up on the New Hampshire seacoast, and it was very. It was a lonely kind of place to be, you know. It was, and I learned to like that solitude. I like the beach in the winter more than the summer, and so the horizon line up there it's constant, you know. Everything's flat, and so when I started painting, I would paint the ocean. I would paint what I saw. So I started out with clouds, and I paint mostly, you know, landscapes that focus on atmosphere and clouds. And you know, and I one of the things I miss this time is not being able to go into the Met and look at painters and landscapes that I love that are there. But I study a lot of painters, and I look at a lot of contemporary painters. And, you know, I think George Ennis is a painter that I go back and look at his work all the time. And I paint from memory. And I really got that, you know, studying a little bit about George Ennis, who would go in the woods and sit there for a week and then come out and do a painting. And I find that it's really helpful for me to study the landscape and then paint my own version of it without looking at anything. So
right, that's interesting. So you're painting from imagination, and perhaps that's why, or tell me, but in a lot of the landscape images, the horizon isn't always horizontal, right? It looks like something from almost from another world sometimes, because the horizon dips or changes. Is that conscious? It seems to be something that is consistent through several of the works I've seen, and makes it seem almost a little unearthly or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I try to. The vantage point that I paint everything from is usually from above. And that's because I like the feeling of being on top of a mountain, or, you know, that feeling of flying. And so I do that. That usually is my vantage point. And I am trying to capture some feeling, but a lot of it is just, you know, I start making marks. The painting wants to be something, and I push the paint around and scrape it until something happens with it. I like it to be really organic, and not really show any controlled brushwork.
Right. And how is it in this time? I mean, you know, we're talking in May 20, 2020. This is in the middle of the pandemic, and you're in Newburgh. Is that affecting your work at all? I mean, the work is so expansive, as you're saying. You can't visit museums, of course, and that's part of your research and work. But how is the pandemic affecting your studio process, or is it?
Yeah, it's well, it isn't directly. No, I live and work. You know, my studio is very close to my home, and I'm in a building that's pretty vacant right now, so I can social distance and work, and it hasn't changed that much for me. You know, I've approved. Newburgh has a lot of artists that have moved up here from the city, which is great. And I miss that community a little bit, but I know everybody's around. But
I mean, the landscape almost seems to have a different meaning now. Part of when, you know, when I go out, that's part of what's, you know, exciting in this moment. Or maybe exciting is not quite the right word, but because so many of us are literally kind of locked indoors, the landscape, the natural world, the open sky has a slightly different meaning now.
Yeah, it does. And it's, the air seems a little bit cleaner, and the birds are singing a little bit louder, it seems. It's, you know, but it, I don't feel, you know, other than just the general, I'm worried about my family and friends down in the city, and but pretty much my studio practice hasn't changed all that much.
And I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Well, I'm reading cover to cover the New York Times and the Washington Post. And it's in this time, it's I want to stay on top of what's happening in the world. And probably that's about it. I don't have any books that I'm currently reading. Just the paper.
You know, that's interesting that you're on top of the news so much. I usually read the Times cover to cover, but I've avoided it lately. It seems so kind of endlessly dark to me, and of course I'm still aware of the news, but the news seems kind of tough to read these days.
Yeah, well, it is tough to read, but I figure if I read the New York Times, I'm not watching CNN. So, so I get it out of the way in the morning, and then I can work.
I like that. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and your work.
Thanks. I'm just glad to do it. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.